for breakfast.
We wake up on this Monday morning. Unfortunately and tragically, our world has changed yet again following this horror scene that unfolded on Friday in Christchurch. Our brothers and sisters across the ditch continue mourning for 50 lives that were so tragically, callously taken. Just an absolute horrific attack. And one of the most horrific parts of it is that the whole thing was live streamed to social media. At about 20 past two on Friday afternoon local time, a man later identified as Brenton Tarrant, formerly of Grafton in New South Wales, entered the Masjid al-Nur City Mosque in Christchurch with an automatic weapon and opened fire. And as you can imagine, from there, it was just a horror scene, an absolute horror scene. And tragically, that horror scene has left 50 people dead. 39 remain in hospital, 11 critical in intensive care. The youngest victim is just 2 years of age. Just a little kid. It is just unbelievable. And what drives somebody to that level of violence, to that level of horror, I just don't know even where to start. And it does nobody any good to be making the sort of inflammatory comments that we've heard from Senator Fraser Anning, and I don't want to give him any more airspace than he deserves, which is none, but absolutely unbelievable, and tragically, many have jumped on that bandwagon. And I think the thing to remember here is, regardless of what your persuasion may be or may not be, the bottom line is these were 50 people that were killed. Forget about the fact of what their religion was. 50 people. It could have been 50 Maoris. It could have been 50 footballers. It could have been 50 police officers. It is just absolutely horrific. And tragically, that death toll could still rise. And I think the tributes and the praise that is being heaped upon the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, are absolutely worthy. She has been absolutely sensational as the New Zealand Prime Minister. And we mourn with you on the other side of the ditch, as we affectionately know it. As I mentioned, we're catching up with local businessman Bernie Baz of Workwear Discounts, and he joins me in the studio this morning to tell us about a project that is not only going to be beneficial to our region, but also beneficial to our veterans. And I think that is a fantastic, merited project, anything like that. Bernie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Lee.
But first of all, you might just explain what it is that you're working on.
Lee, we want to build a world-class museum on the escarpment that will attract visitors to Toowoomba. And we believe it should be a training and employment centre for veterans. So we can employ probably 500 veterans there in full-time roles, training them into all sorts of civil work that leads them back into to working outside the military in an environment that's not military. And that's what we want to see happen. And on top of that, we think that we can also employ another 1,500 veterans on a program long-term to build the parks and gardens in this city that we've got a wish list for. All those wonderful things like the quarry gardens, railway parklands, escarpment gardens, another 1,500 of those fully funded to build our parks and gardens here in the Garden City for the next 30 years.
It's an extraordinary idea. Is this something that has happened somewhere else, or is this a first for this type of thing to look at getting veterans involved in something like these projects?
Lee, we've probably pulled a few projects together. Mona in Hobart is a spectacular tourist attraction. The new museum there, it's been open about a decade,
yes,
has transformed Tasmanian tourism, so we know that it works. And we know there are a lot of different places that employ veterans. So we just put the two ideas together. So veterans can do the admin, they can do the guides, they can be maintenance people, but it just, they've got all these skills, but they're not necessarily working in a civil community and getting the experience to be able to say, yeah, well, I've been doing this for 5 years. Because when they get out of the army, they get a resettlement training course.
Yes.
But, you know, that's only a few weeks. It's not like I've been doing this for 5 years and I know how to do it. And that's what we want to do. We want to give them that real world experience outside the military.
That's fantastic. And as far as the museum itself would be concerned, as you say, it would be a real boon for our tourism because it would be another reason for people to want to come to Toowoomba and to our region, something for them to go and have a look at.
It's staggering, the numbers. We've got a situation where the War Memorial in Canberra is about to undergo a massive redevelopment.
Yes.
That's going to take a decade. If we were able to put their displays here in Toowoomba on display, we're looking at 1 million extra visitors a year.
Wow.
Now, the Bureau of Statistics tells us that 1 million visitors, and we know they're hard numbers because that's the people who won't be able to go to Canberra to the War Memorial.
Yes.
They will spend $240 million a year in Toowoomba. Then when you look at the Parks and Gardens people that we would employ, and you add their wages in as well, we're talking nearly $400 million a year in Toowoomba. So over the first decade of operation, we're talking about an extra $4 billion, not million, billion dollars a year in our local regional economy.
That is extraordinary. I also know that you have had some recent good news with regards to the service chiefs who have essentially endorsed this project. And I mean, you know, given an election year, that is a massive endorsement.
Massive endorsement. We've had great support from Jay Shepherd at the Chamber of Commerce and, of course, the mayor who's been helping us with this. We went to the service chiefs and we gave them a full brief. And with all the resources of the Defence Department, they've come back and they said, we don't have any objections to anything you've planned. So right from the very top, and they've put this in writing, that they commend us, they commend the Mayor and the support we've had from the Chamber, and they want to see us get on and build this and employ veterans. Because veterans unemployment, it's reportedly up near 30%, and that's not right.
No, it's not good enough. Now, what is the next step then? What can we as a community then do to help get this project going?
Well, Dr. McVeigh talked a while ago about how the government had over $200 million
yes.
for regional tourism. Mm. We've spoken to John Wagner about this. He's got Aspect Architects drawing up the plans now. Graham Seckham's drawing up plans now. And John Wagner assures me that he could build an 8,000 square metre museum here for us on the escarpment for less than $50 million. So what we need is for people to go to our website and register their interest or ring their local member or write to the Prime Minister or write to Mr. Shorten and say, we want this.
Yes.
We want to help veterans. We want to help regional Queensland and get that money, that $50 million allocated. To give you an idea of just how good that is compared to other things. The War Memorial refurbishment extension in Canberra is extremely complex because they've got to excavate part of the existing building. That's a $500 million project. Now, we're going to get more display space here for one-tenth of the cost of what they're going to spend in Canberra.
Wow.
And that's because we've got the local expertise of people like the Wagners
yes.
who know how to do this, who do this on a daily basis. You know, he's built the airport terminal. He's about to build a massive facility for Qantas.
Yes.
He knows the numbers. He said, rock solid. He'll give the federal government a written quote, firm quote, no variations, and he can do it for under $50 million. And we've spoken to Queensland Museums, and they've said, if the Prime Minister and the Premier want us to run this, they're ready to go. So we've got the expertise here in Toowoomba. They're already running the Cobb & Co Museum. They are ready to go and give us the expertise and run the training programs needed to train veterans to actually run this facility.
All right. Now, what's that website where people can go to?
If they go to veteransfirst.com.au.
Okay. veteransfirst.com.au and get on there. I'm going to do it. Register and show your interest. I will also bend the ear of some of those people that you have spoken about here this morning when I have them on my program in the coming weeks, and hopefully we can see this come to fruition. I think it's a fantastic project, and Bernie, good on you for championing such a fantastic cause.
Thanks for having us on again this morning, Lee.
Absolute pleasure. Bernie Bazz, one of our local businessmen who is very passionate about something that will be of great benefit not only to our region but also to our veterans, and that is very important. It's 12 to 8. You with Lee for breakfast at Triple M.
You cannot be serious!
Yes, I'm serious, and thousands of people have flocked to a huge festival in Japan dedicated entirely to the male genitalia. Enormous sculptures, multicoloured phallic decorations, and food shaped like the male anatomy all feature at the Penis Festival, which is also known as Honen Sai. Every year in March, residents and visitors flock to Komaki to see a giant phallus carried through the streets. Men of an unlucky age carry a 2-metre manhood carved from Japanese cypress and offer it to the shrine with prayers for a good harvest, flourishing of all natural things, and fertility to loved ones. Now, this can be incredibly hefty, weighing upwards of 400 kilograms with a circumference of more than 100 centimetres. Originally, the statue was much smaller and attached to a representation of a samurai, but it's grown a little bit over the years. And a mum has been left feeling absolutely mortified after making an epic Facebook mistake. The middle-aged woman accidentally live-streaming a rather rude video of herself to her 2,000 Facebook friends instead of privately messaging it. The saucy clip showed Zanipa Galibova from Bulgaria getting a little frisky, and it was intended for her husband's eyes only. However, instead of sending the video to her long-distance lover, the woman accidentally uploaded it as a Facebook story, shocking friends and family. The X-rated clip was also viewed by the woman's 20-year-old son, who told local media he'll be unable to return home for at least 5 years due to embarrassment. Oh, the horror! I can't imagine anything worse, except perhaps having voted for Fraser Anning.
You cannot be serious!
The shows, the stars, the glamour, the big wins, and the occasional fail. It's all in Lee's Entertainment Report on the Darling Downs 864 Triple M.
Good news for blockheads, because this year's season of The Block is well and truly on the way. The Channel 9 favourite began filming last month, and all the signs point to yet another blockbuster year of renovations. This year's season will be based in Melbourne St Kilda once again, with teams tasked with renovating a site estimated to be twice the size of last year's project, the Gatwick Hotel. Five teams are set to renovate the notorious Grey Street Oslo Hotel, a budget guest house where rooms last year were being rented out from just $44 a night. Apparently, Channel 9 purchasing the three-storey property for around $11 million. Despite rumours that 9 was considering changing the block's judges, Shayna Blaze, Darren Palmer and Neil Whittaker have all confirmed they're returning once again. The block is set to air on Channel 9 later this year. The fallout from controversial documentary Leaving Neverland continues. We've already seen Michael Jackson's music banned from some radio stations around the world. An episode in which he has a cameo on The Simpsons has been taken off air. And now Aussie retailer Cotton On has removed clothing from its collection bearing Jackson's face and name. In a memo, the company said, "In light of recent events, we've made the ethical decision to remove all Michael Jackson product from our stores and online, effective today." And what happens when 80s heavy metal meets 80s pop? Well, over the weekend, we found out. It's just 1 week before the Motley Crue biopic Dirt is released, and the band have released the second of four new songs that they've recorded specifically for the project. This time, the most unlikely of covers, Madonna's Like a Virgin. I don't know if it's going to become a classic amongst crew heads, but it is a pretty good version. And I can't wait to see the story unfold on the big screen when Dirt is released next week. And that's the latest.